These are the days in between, the liminal space that hovers beyond the festivities and before the arrival of a fresh new year. A time of long walks, hot coffees, languid lounging with leftover chocolates, adding birthday dates to the new diary, telephone catch-ups, old memories, new plans. Making time, telling stories, everything on pause. And today, a wedding. From my journal, December 2016. Welcome to the Calm Christmas Podcast, Season 3, Episode 9, Silent Night, Relishing the Hush. I am your host, Beth Kempton, and for many years now, I've sensed something very special about these precious days between Christmas and New Year, which I call the Hush. It's as if some kind of portal opens up. January will be here before we know it. But until then, let's stretch these days as wide open as we can and meander for a while, giving our hearts and minds a chance to assimilate and process all that's happened over the past 12 months before we start dreaming of the year to come. The hard work of Christmas is over for another year. There are no more cards to write or presents to wrap. New Year's Eve is still a few days away, and many of us are still off work. If you have the luxury of some time off, you can eat leftovers or chocolate for breakfast. You can leave emails unanswered and spend hours doing jigsaws or building the models that little ones got for Christmas. You can go for a long walk through muddy fields, sit in a country pub all evening telling stories, go to bed early or stay up late and sleep in till noon. You can answer the door at 3 in the afternoon in your onesie. You can spend all day in the kitchen, cooking up vats of warming soup and hearty casseroles, allowing your mind to wander as you stir slowly. You can take a stroll by the sea and drink a flask of coffee on an empty beach. You can clean your house from top to bottom or ignore the mess. You can potter in your garden, meditating on the winter silhouettes, or take a walk in a park. You can dream and scheme, plot and plan for the year ahead. The hush, or Twixtmas, as some people call it, is a very precious time. We face so much change in the course of an average year, in the wider world and in our own lives. We endure a barrage of loud headlines, political turmoil, social injustice, work deadlines, hirings and firings, career shifts, births, marriages, deaths and breakups, house moves and fluctuating friendship dynamics. It's one thing after another, all coming at us with barely a moment to process any of it, and then it's Christmas. This year has had as much of all of it as any of them have. It's crucial to give ourselves this time and space to wind down, switch off, and relax. This time is that fleeting pause when time bends and magic hovers between the bookends of the season. We must and we should are abandoned in favour of shall we and we could. Spontaneity and softness become the order of the day. It's a precious time to breathe deeply, savour moments with loved ones or alone, and feel the world slowing just for a while. It's a time for reflection and for releasing, meandering and dreaming. In my book, Calm Christmas and a Happy New Year, I offered lots of suggestions for this time of year. One of my favourites is to spend a day in nature. There's a particular stillness in nature at the end of December, a stripped back beauty that may seem bleak but actually conceals the first stirrings of new life. It can be deeply comforting to contemplate the circle of life and be reminded of the value of this pause for nurturing fresh growth in the spring. I'll come to our nature corner a bit later on today. Another great thing to do is have a sort my life out day. I have done this since my early 20s. I take a full day near the end of each year to get on top of all the admin that gets in the way of everything else, all that stuff that's built up over the months that you've pushed aside and said, I'll deal with that later. And a day like that usually involves reams and reams of paper spread all over the floor, endless cups of tea and some leftover Christmas cake, a fair few sighs, some boring paperwork, but ultimately a tremendous sense of accomplishment, knowing that I'm going into the new year all fresh and ready not carrying a pile of admin with me. There's something about clearing all that out which makes it easier for me to then dream and plan for the year ahead, which is what we're going to be doing in episode 10, coming up later this week, so I do hope you'll join me for that. You know, a helpful byproduct of this process of a sort my life out day is that you will often find ways to save money or claim some back, which is always a blessing after Christmas. You can pay any outstanding bills, check all direct debits, standing orders, make sure you aren't paying for anything that you don't need anymore, claim refunds on any unwanted gifts, draft a budget for the following year if that you like doing that, organise files and papers, ensure all your important documents are up to date, check you're getting the best deals on your phone, energy, home insurance, all those kinds of things. It's a good time to back up photos, videos and other files so you know you've got everything for the whole year backed up. Add birthdays and anniversaries to your new diary, write thank you cards and a gratitude list. Another thing to try is a digital detox day. That actually works really well with a day in nature day. Or perhaps a creative day. If you haven't yet signed up for my winter writing sanctuary, which is just about to begin, feel free to come and do that. You can register for free at dowhatyouloveforlife.com and it will set you into a lovely writing habit as New Year approaches. It begins on December the 28th. And as I said, it's completely free. 10 days of gorgeous writing inspiration. So do come and join us. dowhatyouloveforlife.com. Another idea, if you share your home with others, is to have a no rules, everyone does their own thing day. It can be chaotic, but it also means that you get to do your own thing as well. In my house, we've decided we're going to have some chill time for a few days. We did all our travelling before Christmas, so it would be lovely to do that. And then have a fun family day out with cousins. And while the children are playing with their new things, we're planning to have a huge clear out, including the attic. The dreaded attic, so that we can enter the new year clear and fresh. Most of the decorations will go away this week, but the fairy lights will remain, and of course we'll keep the Christmas tree up until Twelfth Night. Apparently there is a tradition of leaving some lights up until Candlemas on February the 2nd. I think that's when it is. Although last year I left some up around the fireplace and around the mantelpiece above the stove in the kitchen. Left them up all year long and it was lovely, so I think I'll do that again. If you want to spend some relaxed time with others, here are a few things to try. You could meet up with friends at local coffee shop, take a pack of cards or a board game. It's also really nice to support local cafes at this time of year, especially if you live somewhere that seasonal winter can be a really difficult time for independents. So we always love to do that. Make some popcorn, watch some old movies, build a den out of the kitchen furniture, even if you don't have any children in your house. Go on, I dare you. It could be fun. Fly kites on the beach, go for a swim, visit a stately home or maybe go to a farm or a beautiful garden. Or you could drop a coin on a map and go there wherever it lands. Take some blankets outside and watch the moon and the stars. We'll be coming to that a bit later in our nature corner. Invite your neighbours round to drink the last of the mulled wine or maybe reflect on Christmas together and discuss what you might do differently next year. That brings me to our get ahead tips, which are obviously taking a slightly different turn this week because Christmas is now over. We're going to think about next Christmas. I know, we've only just finished this one. But believe me, this is the best time to reflect on what worked, what didn't, and make some notes to help you next year. So here are a few questions you might like to journal about or maybe prompt some conversations with people that you shared Christmas with. Which single moment did you enjoy most this Christmas and why was that? Which aspect of the preparations did you enjoy most and which was your least favourite? What felt stressful? Was there anything that was particularly tiring, particularly fun, magical, joyful? Write it all down. Was there anything that felt like a waste of time, energy, or money? It's really hard to face up to this, but it might save you time, energy, and money next year by not repeating it. So it's worth thinking about that. Which of your efforts were really appreciated? And then this Christmas, whose presence was challenging and who was a delight? If you made any changes to Christmas this year compared to previous years, how did they work out for you and for other people? What did you do for yourself over Christmas? And if the answer is nothing, then please do something for yourself in the next few days before the new year comes around. And then lastly, what would you like to do differently next Christmas? And so for our well-being corner, as I always say, where possible, stay away from shopping malls and online sales at this time of year. Stay out of your inbox. Avoid mindless scrolling on social media. Keep your distance from loud and aggressive people. Go easy on alcohol and sugar. Avoid making too many plans. Keep it light and loose. And if you can avoid travelling to busy places, that is going to be really calming. Avoidance of stress, but if you must, maybe take some earphones and a good book. If you do all of those things, you'll get a deeper sense of hovering here in this in-between time before the old year has left and the new one has moved in. Now, we're going to do a deep dive into planning in the next episode, but for now, let's have a little bit of a reflection on the year. If you haven't done this for yourself already, if you've got a fresh notebook, why not take a moment today to ask yourself these six questions. Of course, you can pause the podcast after each question and write and then come back for the next question if you like, or you could just write the questions down and do them in your own time. How would you sum up this past year in three words? How did you grow, change, or have change thrust upon you this past year? What particular synchronicities did you notice this year? Where did you bring light to the darkness for someone this year? What unexpected blessings did the year bring you? And what would you like to release or leave behind you as you move towards the new year? Be sure to check back later in the week for episode 10, Winter Song, which will be released on December the 30th. And in the meantime, I would like to offer you a very special visualization to help you open up to what might be calling to you. As I've said, there's something very special about this liminal time where the noise of the world is hushed a little, which sometimes makes it possible to hear our inner whispers a little more clearly. A couple of years ago, I shared a winter visualization here on the podcast, and I have had so many emails and DMs asking where people can find it. I thought I'd just share it again. So here it is. It's called A Walk in the Forest, and it goes without saying that you should, of course, not do this if you're driving while listening. I encourage you to have your notebook and pen nearby so you can write afterwards, capturing whatever wants to spill out. Find a quiet place where you won't be disturbed for the next 10 minutes or so. Come into a comfy seated position, either sitting tall on a chair with your feet flat on the floor or cross-legged on the floor, perhaps sitting on a cushion or on a prop to lift your hips above the knees. This is going to help you relax the hips and lengthen the spine, taking any strain off the lower back. Close your eyes or lower your gaze and let your hands rest in your lap, palms open and facing upwards. Find length up through the spine, engage your belly and feel your spine as a channel of energy, allowing that energy to flow up and down your body. Allow your shoulders to relax down and soften your face. Soften your jaw, soften your brow, soften behind your ears. Relax your arms, relax your hands, relax your legs, relax your feet. Relax anywhere in your body that you are feeling tension. Breathe into that place and let the tension melt away. Bring your attention to your breath, observing the inhale and the exhale. Notice the rhythm. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. A gentle, steady rhythm, inviting you to arrive here fully in this moment. Today, I invite you to take a walk in a beautiful, snowy forest. You woke early this winter morning in a cabin that you rented for the weekend. You made a simple breakfast while it was still dark, filled a flask with a hot drink, and put it in your rucksack along with a few other supplies. You put on your coat. You wrapped your scarf around your neck. You pulled on your gloves. Pulled on a hat. Put your feet into warm socks and then into boots, which you tied up, and then you headed out of the door for a long hike. A fresh batch of snow had fallen in the night, and you savoured the crunch beneath your feet as you walked. The only other footprints were those of small birds and perhaps a fox. The air was clear and your heart was happy as you soaked in the beauty all around. After walking through the forest for 3 hours, you have now stopped here by this fallen tree. The sky is blue and the sun is out, but there's a chill in the air. It's time for a hot drink and a snack. You pull a small blanket out of your rucksack, lay it over the tree trunk, and sit down. As you're pouring your drink from the flask, a robin flies down and perches nearby, head at an angle, watching you. You notice his tiny beak and his red chest and the way his head twitches from time to time. He seems familiar. And then you remember what a friend told you about robins last winter, a friend who believed in animal symbolism. Apparently, the appearance of a robin means that the correct path has been shown to you, and you can make changes in your life with joy, laughter, and a song in your heart. A visit from a robin is a reminder to let go of personal drama and exercise compassion and patience, allowing you to enter a new beginning with faith and trust and hope. All the while, as you're thinking about this, the robin is watching. And then he starts to hop towards you and comes and perches right next to you, sharing your blanket. You continue to breathe gently so as not to disturb him and allow his message to enter your heart. After a little while, the robin gives you one last glance and flies away. You pack up your things and get walking again. You're in no hurry as you contemplate what just happened, and you take time to notice the colours on the trees, the light and shadows on the forest floor, and all the woodland life around you. You take a deep breath to inhale the scent of the forest and notice a hint of wood smoke. You look up to see where it's coming from, but you can't see anything other than the path ahead of you, so you keep walking. The scent is getting stronger as you walk. The path turns a corner and opens out into a small clearing where you see a tiny cottage, as if from a storybook, with smoke winding up from the chimney. You feel drawn to the cottage, and as you walk towards it, you take in every detail. The shape of the small building, the windows, the roof, the old door. You can't help but go up to that door. Something tells you this place is friendly and you're safe here. Standing in front of the door now, you notice the unusual shape of the door knocker. You raise your hand up and knock 3 times, a little quietly. No answer. You knock again, 3 times, louder this time. And then you hear a voice, a familiar voice. "Come in," the voice says. The door isn't locked. You enter the cottage through a small flagstone hallway and into a homely room with a wood burner, small sofa, and a table between 2 wooden chairs. There's someone sat in one of those chairs with their back to you. "I was wondering when you'd come," they say. You can sense the smile in their voice. As they slowly turn around, you realise who it is. Just be here for a moment and allow the person to reveal themselves to you. You've come here to have an important conversation. This is your moment. There's either something you need to say or something you need to hear. Stay here for a while and allow the conversation to happen. This person and this conversation is offering you an important clue to something in your life. Only you know what the message means. Now you've received that message, it's time to thank the person in the cottage and take your leave. You bid them farewell. Go back through the flagstone hallway, out the door, and back across the clearing towards the forest. As you reflect on what just happened, a small bird flies past you and lands on a branch up ahead. It's the robin again, and he's at the opening of a small path you hadn't noticed before. Something tells you that the path is a shortcut back to your cabin, so you follow it and find your way home. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes and come back. And breathe. Then pause the podcast and write in your notebook anything that wants to be written. I hope you enjoyed that. Now it is time for our nature corner. If you can, why not go for a walk by the sea today? And look out for drift seeds carried by the ocean from lands far away. According to Elizabeth Jenner in What to Look For in Winter, some tropical trees and plants produce large, hard seeds that float. The seeds fall from pods into nearby water sources and some find their way to the sea. They can then travel across the oceans and end up on much colder shores. The seeds from the monkey ladder plant, found in Central America, is a kind of bean called a sea heart because of its shape. Apparently, sea hearts discovered off the coast of Ireland used to be placed under pillows to ward off supernatural forces. If you can't get to the sea today, maybe spend some time with water in any form. A walk in the rain, a walk by the river, a dip in a lake, or just a hot bath. Speaking of which, I'd like to share a beautiful bathing ritual with you today. This week sees the night of the cold moon, the full moon of December. It has lots of other lovely names too. The full long night's moon and the oak moon. It's a symbol of long-lasting strength. According to Dakota Hills and Sierra Brashear in their beautiful book, Moon Bath, the winter full moon is a moon for attracting abundance, and here's what they say about it. The bright light of the full moon is a lighthouse on our journey through the long, dark nights of winter. The fire element is present as the moon illuminates the night sky, connecting us to our internal flame and giving rise to our fundamental needs and unique desires. In this, we have an opportunity to transform our relationship with money, a resource for living a full and generous life. With fire burning bright within you as well as in the cosmos, now is the perfect time to focus on burning through any negative beliefs about money to attract more abundance into your life. Whether it's for educating yourself, supporting important causes, or nurturing the ones you love, a little extra money gives you more freedom to pursue your passions. They go on to share a beautiful moon bath ritual. Here it is. Self-massage with warm oil is perhaps one of the most nourishing and grounding ways we can honour our bodies and minds. The practice of oil massage lubricates the joints, softens the skin, improves digestion, relaxes the nervous system, and supports us to be in awakened presence. Traditionally, oil massage is done before bathing and on an empty stomach, as this is best for detoxification. We invite you to try it this way. Before your bath, warm approximately 1 ounce of sunflower oil by pouring it into a glass jar and placing that in 2 ounces of boiling water for 5 minutes. You might want to add a drop of ginger essential oil if you'd like some extra heat. Once the oil is warmed, anoint yourself head to toe in a light layer. After you're fully covered, massage your joints in circular motions and use long strokes on your limbs to soothe your skin and muscles, always moving the blood toward your heart. Take this opportunity to adore every curve and line of your body with loving touch. Allow your skin to fully absorb the oil before stepping into your warm bath. Carefully, please. Be sure to stay cozy and warm, not allowing yourself to get chilled any time during your ritual. Consider practicing this ritual in the morning to set yourself up for a warm and activated day. They suggest you can follow that up with some centering breaths, a visualization of a gentle flame burning within you, and a body scan to feel the warmth your heart center generates flowing through your being. Gorgeous warm bath in the morning. That sounds blissful. I am definitely trying that this week. Perhaps followed up with some writing afterwards. You know, those moon names I shared before, the cold moon, the oak moon, the full long night before moon, also the moon before Yule. They all sound like writing inspiration to me. Ah, yes. Perhaps you will take one of them as a spark today. I have actually recently picked up a gorgeous book called 12 Moons by Caro Giles, and each chapter takes the name of a moon throughout the year. Such a lovely inspiration for a book. Anyway. Here is a writing exercise for you to try today. The full moon is a time for releasing and for negativity and getting clear on our intentions. This is just perfect for this transitional time between Christmas and New Year, as one year gives way to the next. So today, why not write a poem of release or a poem of intention for a new year? And if you can, why not sit beneath the full moon as you write? Feel free to come and share it with me on Instagram at Beth Kempton. I would love to read your poem. Today's recipe is a lovely one from Chef Gil Meller, who lives and works here in Devon. It is Homity Baked Potatoes from his stunning book, Outside. Gil says this: everyone loves baking potatoes in the embers of a fire, especially kids. It's exciting for them to get involved. Give them a stick so they can prod and poke at the hot coals and roll their potatoes over when they need turning. While the spuds are cooking, get them to prepare the homity onions and leeks. It's simple cooking, but they'll learn so much from helping you. For 4 people, you will need 8 baking potatoes. I love that. You get 2 potatoes each. That's amazing. 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, 150 grams, that's 5.5 ounces of butter, 2 leeks sliced into rounds, 2 onions halved and sliced, 1 tablespoon of whole grain mustard, 100 grams or 3.5 ounces of mature cheddar, finely grated, sea salt and freshly ground black pepper. You can already imagine from that ingredients list that this is going to be delicious, right? This is how Gil says you need to make it. You'll need a big fire going for this recipe. Let the wood and charcoal burn back so you have a broad bed of chunky embers. Make sure the coals aren't too fierce, otherwise the potatoes won't cook evenly. Give the potatoes a scrub, but only if they need it. Rub them all with extra virgin olive oil and sprinkle them generously with salt and pepper. Wrap each potato in a double layer of foil. Use a pair of tongs to clear some potato-shaped hollows in the embers and nestle the spuds down into these gaps. Make sure they have a significant amount of heat surrounding them. You don't need to cover them as such, just pile up the embers around their sides. Turn the potatoes every 10 to 15 minutes using your tongs until they feel soft, about an hour. Meanwhile, set a large pot over the fire and add 1/3 of the butter. When it's bubbling away, add the leeks and onions and season with some salt and pepper. Sizzle them, stirring regularly until they're soft and they smell lovely and sweet. Unwrap the soft potatoes and cut them in half. Use a spoon to scoop out the middle of the flesh into the pot with the leeks and onions. Leave enough potato in the skin so that you don't tear them. And then add the remaining butter, the mustard, half the cheddar, and season with some salt and pepper. Mix everything together. You can leave it all quite chunky. And then pile the hominy potato mix back into the jacket halves and scatter over the remaining cheese. Eat hot. I tell you what, even if the weather stops us building a fire this week, I am making these. They sound delicious. And now it is our giveaway. This week, I am giving away a copy of the lovely book Care by Brooke McCallery, who's host of the Slow Home podcast, along with a personalised signed copy of my book Wabi Sabi, Japanese Wisdom for a Perfectly Imperfect Life. You can enter on Instagram at Beth Kempton if you get there before the giveaway deadline. Here's a suggestion from Care, which you might like to try this week. Set aside a few minutes and dedicate some time to the practice of doing nothing. Ideally, you'll do this every day, but since you're just starting out, find whatever time you can and go from there. Turn your phone off, take a moment to get comfy, wriggle around and find a restful position to sit. You might even want to channel your cat or dog, the way they stretch and move when they sit down and prepare to rest, adjusting and readjusting until they're ready for stillness. And now comes the hard part. You need to just stop. Be still. Settle into your body and breathe. You're in training for doing nothing, and doing nothing means nothing. No agenda, no reason, nothing at all. You might feel itchy or jittery at first. Perhaps your thoughts will get noisy. Now is probably the time your brain serves up a list of all the other things you should be doing, running through your to-do list. Ignore it. You might want to reach for your phone. Don't. It can wait. Sit with any discomfort that arises. By all means, recognise it, acknowledge it, but don't engage with it. Revel in the experience of being. This may or may not feel pleasant. Then, when your time is up, give your fingers and toes a wiggle, take a deep breath, and move on with your day. Brooke suggests you try this each day for a week and observe how you feel when you do it, and then expand the practice for longer, or take it for a walk, eventually working up to 30 minutes a week when you do absolutely nothing. She says, idleness allows us to decompress from the relentless noise of modern life, providing an opportunity to recalibrate to a baseline of stillness, where the ability to simply be for a moment does not result in boredom, but in peace, relief in the quiet. Something to try, perhaps. So, what is coming up? Well, the Winter Writing Sanctuary starts tomorrow. It starts on December the 28th. If you haven't registered yet, there is still time. It is free and it runs for 10 days, carrying us across the new year with inspiration and intention. I hope you love it. You can register at dowhatyouloveforlife.com. Join me and writers from around the world for this cozy escape this winter. And then on Saturday, December the 30th, you can tune in to the final episode of the year, episode 10, Winter Song, Gratitude and Dreaming. And so, my friend, I wish you a gorgeous few days between Christmas and New Year. Remember, all of life is a story. Myths and legends, folklore and fairy tales, imagination and memory, diaries and dinner dates, catch-ups over a pint and family chats around the kitchen table. Fact and fiction, hope and expectation, truth and dream. Each detail a sentence, each conversation a page. These are the days of our lives, my friend. Live them fully, write them well. You have been listening to the Calm Christmas Podcast with me, Beck Henson, produced by Untapped Talent. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss our last episode of the year coming up very soon. And if you have a moment to rate the podcast, that would be amazing, but only if you love it, of course. Stay warm and cozy and enjoy the hush.